Welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. In this podcast, we dig into the exact playbooks that ABM practitioners are using today to get their first ABM program off the ground. We'll dig into how they're using their current tech stack in order to create scrappy programs that rely more on creativity than new technologies. So if you're looking for how to get ABM off the ground in your organization in the next 90 days, let's dive into this episode. Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks. Don't bring the bank. This is your host, Mason Cosby. And today I am joined by Katarina Marifat, who is the Senior Director of Growth Marketing over at Resilinc. Katarina, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, it's great to be here, Mason.
I'm really excited to talk through some of the things that you're building now at Resilinc over the past year and a half. I'm just working through, like, how did you get ABM off the ground? So that said, can you give us a quick high-level overview of what you've been building recently?
Yeah, absolutely. So honestly, at my last three gigs, so Quorum, OpenSesame, as well as currently at Resilinc, I helped launch ABM specifically for the company. So kind of shifting from this fully inbound spray and pray approach to a more strategic account-based marketing strategy. So I've done a lot of different types of plays. I usually have used the Sixth Sense technology. I know there's a bunch of competitors like demand base, but launched everything from kind of the one-to-one, oh, I love it, love the mug, one-to-one, one-to-few, one-to-many, and then just a bunch of different types of strategies, right? Like closed loss, looking at your lost opportunities, trying to get them to re-engage, competitive displacement, which is really neat because you can use technographic data in Sixth Sense, demand gen, build up a list of competitors to try to take some market share back. And then partner marketing efforts are really big. You can do all ICP, thought leadership, middle of funnel conversion, just a bunch of different tactics. And I know I'm basically listing them all off, but the one that I was gonna talk about today is launch about 16 of these or so at Resilinc, but specifically like an all ICP kind of industry focused play. So have launched that for some of the top markets, just focusing on, you know, predictive intent, high intent accounts that are a good fit for our company.
I love it. So when we talk about these kind of vertical specific type programs, one of the hardest things for everybody is like, okay, how do I actually segment my audience? And especially when we talk about vertical specific, if you're just going based on exclusively the industry, I swear LinkedIn intentionally makes industry segmentation the hardest thing possible. So I'm curious, as you built out these vertical programs, how do you actually find the right audience and target accounts that match based on your verticals?
Excellent question, because the campaign and the tactic is only going to be as good as your targeting. So something that I've found, and listen, you don't have to go through this effort. You can do a much more scrappy play. But specifically with the technology such as Sixth Sense or a demand base, you can create your account-based list in one unified platform and sync it to all of your ad platforms, which is really awesome because it guarantees consistency. It guarantees efficiencies in terms of just getting that account-based list into LinkedIn or Meta or Google to ensure that you're targeting the same strategic audience across all of your digital marketing channels. So that first and foremost, you can do something similar. Let's say you don't have a Sixth Sense or ABM. You can create an account-based list like an Excel and make sure that you're using it for these various systems. But I know that with Sixth Sense, it just really helps streamline a lot of that integration. In addition, and this, I think it's different for every company, it's different for every marketer, but in addition to that layering of finding the right industry for your company or the right like ICP, it's also important to kind of play around with the predictive intent, you know, nozzles. So I've done different things for a campaign where, for example, Sixth Sense's funnel in terms of buyer intent, lower in the funnel when a company is actually ready to be passed off or a lead or an account is ready to be passed off to sales. They're at the decision purchase phase. So I've done more strategic plays at that level of higher intent where it's like, hey, schedule a demo, set up a meeting Whereas the top end, more of the target awareness consideration phases, kind of getting them interested with a good piece of content that's going to resonate. So we did a lot of, for these specific ICP plays, there was a lot of research done into what are some of the challenges that, for example, the technology industry is facing when they are trying to account for a supply chain risk. So Resilink is a supply chain risk and compliance platform. So thinking of those challenges and then making sure that we are providing different pieces of content throughout the funnel, top of funnel, bottom of funnel, that resonate with that audience, and then strategically targeting where they are within the predictive intent model with those content pieces. So you can get real, real niche. And I think it's important to set it up, look at the dials. If you find, like, originally when we launched this ICP campaign, for example, we were targeting everything from predictive intent target all the way to when it passes off to sales, essentially trying to get them to decision and purchase and to pass off. We noticed that we weren't having really great success. So by removing kind of the first stage of the funnel target, we were able to target more strategically and focus on specific accounts that were further down in their decision-making process. So I think playing with the toggles and kind of seeing what the results are in terms of your analytics and then adjusting accordingly really goes a long way.
And there's a couple things that I specifically just want to reiterate of, like, same list every time. You'd be shocked how difficult it is sometimes if you have disparate systems to just, like, keep the same list. Like, we've been running a program and we were going based on LinkedIn filtering criteria, and I put in the exact same criteria as my AE and he got a different list than I did, versus just having a singular list that we then upload every place. So of all the things you outlined, just, like, don't go based on filtering criteria, go based on, like, actual named accounts and do list uploads everywhere. That way you've maintained consistency across the board. I love that call out.
100%. The other thing that's really nice with having a specific platform is when you set it up with, like, a ABM specific platform, the lists are constantly growing because accounts are moving in and out of buying stages. They are maybe entering new markets for whatever reason. So it is much more streamlined to work with some type of tool, for your point, for list consistency across all the ad platforms, but also I think for scalability as well.
Yeah, I love it. So now that we've worked through the approach that you took to nail down targeting and make sure that we're actually serving up the right message at the right time, I'm curious, how did you think through the different channels you had used to actually get in front of these audiences?
That's a great question. So I think first and foremost, it's super important to have your campaign infrastructure set up correctly, right? Making sure that you've got a campaign, that landing page, that's tied to your map system, your CRM system, so that you can essentially, once you launch these things, all the ads on your channels, it flows in and you can understand performance and kind of, again, kind of tweak the dials, make the optimizations. So I say that because sometimes it's a step that's left out. It's like, hey, let's kind of turn this thing on and let it go. Without that kind of consideration for the marketing operations portion of it, that has to be set up properly to track it. At that point, my approach to each campaign is essentially using the full kind of depth and breadth of the digital marketing channels that you have at your disposal to see what resonates and then optimizing based on what you're seeing. Because it's very possible, and I've seen this before, worked at Quorum, which was a software company that had 25 different products. And the personas for every product were different. Really fun, really challenging to market. But what was interesting is, and again, kind of shifting, but similar, we noticed specifically we had, like, a product for measurement that was used by folks out in the field of oil and gas. As these are some of the folks out on the rigs, the drilling rigs. That audience used Microsoft and Bing much more than any other audience which used Google. So I think the approach to starting broad and then tailoring based on optimization is important, especially if you're using different types of targeting for the audience, right? So with the different industry ICP plays, we started off kind of, okay, let's hit the buyer where they're at, right? So we always use organic social, whatever the company's channels are. ResLink has Twitter, kind of the basic B2B, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. So we use organic social. We use paid social. At ResLink specifically, we use LinkedIn since it resonates more, but I've done the Meta and trying to do the account-based matching on those platforms. And then, of course, paid search. So Sixth Sense has an integration with Google where you can pass that account-based list over there. We also do some keyword targeting just based on some of the SEO keywords that we included within the web page. So you kind of got like the full kind of depth and breadth of all the different channels, and then essentially adjusting based on the optimization that you're seeing. So kind of that integrated multi-channel approach to marketing. I also think that the scope of the channels is changing a lot with the influence of AI. So I think buyers are resonating or meeting in communities more on Reddit. So it becomes more important to meet buyers where they're at and also at different stages. So that approach to being everywhere or being where your buyers are, I think is really important.
I mean, it sounds like what you've been doing is you've taken inventory of all of your current channels, leaned into what you already know is working, and then based on what's already performing then better, when the context of these specific vertical programs, you lean more heavy into those channels and less into the ones that aren't resonating as much. And to your point, people in the oil and gas space, you probably stopped spending Google ads because they were all on Bing anyway. So just making sure you start with what you got, measure closely, and then optimize from there.
Yep, exactly. And always A-B test, because that's kind of your surefire way on each of the channels to make sure that your ad spend is optimized. So
I love it. A couple of things you've already referenced from a tooling perspective would just be things like your marketing automation platform. Obviously, you're running some kind of native ads. You've referenced Sixth Sense a couple of times. And then your overall, the website, sounds like you're sending a lot of people back towards your website. Are there any other specific tools that as you're thinking about kind of building out an industry-specific program like you've done it 16 times, what other tools would you recommend to make something happen?
Yeah, so you touched on pretty much the key ones, right? You need some kind of a website CMS, some kind of a marketing automation platform to capture the leads, the CRM that's going to track it and associate it to revenue, or some companies have the same map CRM, so great, just one. ABM platform significantly improves your odds in terms of targeting. And then, of course, all of the ad channels that you're going to use. So your social platforms, your search platforms, anything else that you might be using specifically for targeting. The other thing I would say, like not mandatory or anything, but does help, is specifically adding some kind of a Hotjar, or Microsoft has Clarity onto the CMS. It just helps you really understand users and web intent to really optimize what it is you're doing. So
I love it. So when we then think through specifically content, like I think this is often the thing that gets overlooked in ABM programs, but your channels are only as good as where you're sending people. So I'm curious, as you think about content mapping, how do you make sure you're aligning the right message and the right destination with where the audience is in their journey at that time?
Yeah. So this is an area that becomes even more reliant, I think, on the platform, because with Sixth Sense, you can segment based on the buying stage and the intent and sync that audience into the platforms to target them with a specific piece of content. So depending on what your specific play is and what kind of stages within the buying funnel you're going to be targeting, I think that should align and resonate to the point you just made with your content. So specifically with these ICP plays, we went a little broad. So we went anywhere from awareness all the way to decision and purchase, even just to kind of ensure that we are nurturing everything along the way. And so we wanted to make sure that the campaign had kind of that full funnel view in terms of content. So meaning kind of top end of the funnel, making sure we have our blogs that resonate, the messaging specifically with, like I said, touching on some of the challenges that that industry is facing. Videos, snackable content that folks can get to, case studies, podcasts, infographics, and then some meatier content like white papers, reports, webinars, and obviously always making sure we include a bottom of funnel CTA, which is essentially to speak to someone in sales to kind of demo the solution. Or if we had a free trial, we could do a free trial as another example. But making sure that you have all of that available if you're going to be targeting the full funnel is really important, because if you're going to hit someone with who's in kind of target early stages with a schedule a demo, that's not going to work because they're not ready, right? So we used kind of the full breadth of the different assets. And again, it kind of depended based on the different ICPs, what people gravitated to. So it also allowed us to kind of quickly understand like which types of pieces of content is resonating more with individuals once we launch these on our ads or send these in emails. So it's pretty interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I just specifically love the call out of like awareness stage programming should not be measured on booked meetings. Like don't try to, and we still have people that we work with. They're like, I know we just launched this ad program to people that don't know we exist, but like, where are the meeting? And it's like, well, it's not how this works. So yeah, just making sure you've got the full breadth of content that educates where the buyer is today, I think is the best call out. Then the other thing that I just appreciated about what you outlined is in multiple different formats, like people learn in different ways. So by ensuring you've got not just the topics covered, but topics covered in multiple formats so that it's easier to digest based on how people learn, I think is a really helpful way to ensure that you're actually engaging your buyers in the ways that they want to be engaged.
100%. And even to the point of when you think down to the specific, this is more ad versus content, but like LinkedIn doing sponsored content and lead gen ads that show up in someone's feed versus in-mail messaging. So kind of using all the different tactics, video ads. The other thing I think with content, which has been uniquely interesting for me at a couple of companies, is I've worked at some companies that have kind of a USP for like specific types of content. So ResLink, for example, is a supply chain risk and compliance platform. They create, I think we're creating maybe 3 or 4, what we call kind of special reports every month. And essentially what this does is it pulls data from our SCRM platform, supply chain platform, of how many disruptions is the technology industry faced? What are the top 5 disrupting events? How has that changed year over year? So it's very specific data that people want to understand their vertical, to understand the impact, to assess risk, to make the right choices. So this has actually been that in case studies, they want to see repeatable results, right? So those are two that it's like, once we kind of figure that out, it's like each campaign needs to ideally include these elements because it's going to be that much more sticky. Alternatively, I worked with a company, Derek Corporation, and they did a phenomenal job creating field reports. So they manufactured the actual shakers that were on the oil and gas rigs. It was actually my first time marketing a tangible product versus the rest of my career is software. But what they did is they created these, what they called field reports. And essentially it's kind of taking a look at that specific shaker on a rig versus a competitor's rig. And it had specific data anonymized, where it compared them versus their competitor. And that became really sticky and resonated with someone who is interested in buying their equipment because they wanted to understand how will my ROI increase? How will my net productive time on a rig decrease with this product? How is my operational efficiency going to increase? So this was a specific type of content piece, kind of like the special reports that really was sticky and something that the company offered. So it was kind of like, one of those kind of gold mines in terms of content that you can use within your strategic play.
Yeah, I mean, I just always love when you're able to just pull in like original content and data that no one else has access to. And it, we move out of like, you know, I think a lot of content today is still just like opinion editorial, you know, is helpful. Like it's helpful to get thought leadership experts to share their perspective. But when you're like, so here's my perspective and here's the data that informed this perspective and how it's impacting you today based on market shifts, it's always super helpful because it, I don't know, just make sure people are getting things that are actually important to them that is near time data, not real time, but like near time.
Exactly. You want to make sure that the content you're providing has value to, yep, to who you're providing it to. So yeah.
I love it. Last two questions for you. As you think about measuring success, like what are the ways in which you've actually looked to understand, are we winning or are we losing?
Great question. And this is, I think, where kind of that marketing operation setup comes into play, because it's so important to have the right framework set up so that you can report. So like I said, 13 of the 15 years of my experience has been B2B SaaS, specifically for PE-backed companies. So they follow this methodology of kind of the serious decisions waterfall to understand, you know, are we generating inbound and is that inbound working its way into revenue? So one of the main ways to measure success kind of within that space is essentially looking at how did this campaign impact our funnel? So anything from anonymized web visits to lead to MQL, kind of the typical stages of funnel, all the way down to ideally closed won, but also closed lost. And then it's kind of, it's become more of a loop now with kind of the lifetime value, but definitely making sure that you're measuring that success across the stages, the conversions, specifically for a campaign that can kind of advise as to what might need to be changed or optimized. And then looking at it from two different lens, where it's what did marketing and or this campaign help actually source, so brought this sales opportunity, as well as how did we help influence this opportunity. So I've seen more and more as companies kind of shift from this inbound ABM that it becomes less about what did marketing or sales do, but how did we collectively influence this deal and kind of having that alignment. It's kind of crazy. So it was actually 2 years back, I was at a JMI roundtable and it was sales, marketing, they even had CS. And just hearing what a lot of these companies were saying about how they've shifted to ABM was honestly eye-opening. So there were companies that were doing speaking presentations and they were talking about how they flipped this whole model of lead to closed one on its head. So now when they decide strategically between sales and marketing, who do they go after? They just go after accounts. It's no longer about individuals. So they actually started every year by creating opportunities in Salesforce. And they said the opportunities, for example, for Google. And we agree that sales and marketing were going after Google. And so essentially it's like super, super aligned from an account-based everything model. So that kind of approach, obviously your KPIs might differ, but this is kind of typical in terms of what I've seen. And then of course you want to understand campaign performance and influence ROI. You want to understand for each channel, what are your specific KPIs and how are they performing against benchmarks? So email, open rates, click-through rates, ads, impressions, clicks, and then all the way down to revenue, essentially. So a bunch of different things you can track and optimize. And I've left out tons of other things.
It's a massive box to unpack because measurement is one of the top five reasons it fails anyway. But what I'm hearing is, one, I love that example of we actually went ahead and pre-made opportunities because we're so convinced that we can get these accounts in the door this year that we're just going to go ahead down to the pipeline. That is like that is a level of conviction that I have never heard around ABM, and I loved it. So that's amazing.
I know. I was sitting there. I was like, oh, That's nice. Granted, I've never worked at a company that's done that, but that was insane because I was like, oh, so you guys all know exactly, like, you know, what you're going to do like the next year, and you're all bought in to kind of this, you know, and then it becomes, you could do really cool, like one-to-one campaigns, very, very hyper-targeted. I think that's increasingly becoming more and more important in this kind of age of AI. People expect this level of hyper personalization. So yeah, it was really interesting.
Yeah. Well, last question for you would just be, as you've built multiple programs, many have won, there've been bumps along the way, I'm confident. What is one piece of advice you'd give to somebody that's launching their very first ABM program to make sure they're more likely to be successful?
Yeah, I think honestly, the piece of advice I would probably give is the importance of aligning with sales. So at the end of the day, marketing, one of marketing's customers is the sales team. And ultimately, everyone, including actually CS2, we're all working towards this unified goal of kind of increasing revenue for the sake of our stakeholders. But it is really important to align with sales on the different, you know, let's say account-based list targeting and equip them properly for follow-up. So you want to align at the top end in the planning to determine, even I've done at each of my jobs kind of this, hey, we're thinking about kind of this campaign in terms of prioritization. Because the more you get sales bought in and aligned at the top end, you ensure that what you're doing is something that's going to be relevant for the business. And you ensure that as the campaign flows, you're always, marketing isn't necessarily going to close the deal. There is a handoff process. So you're ensuring that kind of lockstep alignment in terms of when you start generating accounts that are interested, that handoff process to sales. So I think another part of that is making sure that you are meeting with sales regularly, talking them through what the campaign is, providing documentation so that they can follow up, enabling them with talking points so that when inbound leads come in, they understand what are some kind of cost of an action questions we can ask this inbound lead to kind of keep the conversation flowing and as eventually get this deal across the goal line. So I think that's something that's really important that sometimes is forgotten.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't agree more. Well, Katarina, this has been a super helpful episode for people that are probably thinking through how do I build out some vertical programs. If people want to find out more about you, where would you point them?
Yeah, I would say come find me on LinkedIn. So I don't have my last name in there, but Mason said it earlier. So Katarina Marifat, welcome to reach out anytime. I'm happy to help. I love what this podcast stands for, which is sharing actionable tips to people to kind of get them equipped and kind of understanding ABM and get them some help. So I love it.
I appreciate it. Katarina, thanks so much for joining me today. This has been Scrappy ABM, and we'll see you guys in the next one. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. If you want to do an even deeper dive on building out your ABM program, we're actually hosting our next ABM in a Day workshop on November 13th. It is a full 6 hours digging into all of the reasons ABM programs fail and exactly how to fix them. And I know what you're thinking, 6 hours is a huge time investment. Admittedly, it is. But it's taking 6 hours to ensure you nail the next 6 months of your ABM program. And in case you're wondering, is it worth it? The last time we hosted it, we got a 9.3 out of 10 on our content. So I can guarantee this is a worthwhile time investment to ensure you nail your ABM program. So if that sounds like something you'd like to do, go to scrappyabm.com/workshop to register today, and we'll see you on November 13th.